almost no one raises the real issue of tax avoidance, right? And of the rich just not paying their fair share. I mean, it feels like I'm at a firefighters conference and no one's allowed to speak about water.
Today we walk into this house with an iconic South African plant, the Aloe Ferox. We must take the bitter with the sweet.
It is a matter that is under consideration. And all I would say is that watch this space.
Welcome to this week's episode of the SA Money Report. This financial podcast is brought to you by Fin24 and hosted by Deputy Editor Ahmed Arif.
Hello and welcome to another episode of SA Money Report. I'm your host, Deputy Fin24 Editor Ahmed Arif. Our weekly show helps to demystify and inform you about the newest, most interesting, almost crucial financial or business news in SA. We also provide you a quick peek behind the curtain on one of our big stories. This week, let's start with a whopper. The Competition Tribunal has given its blessing for Grand Parade Investments' sale of Burger King South Africa to an international private equity fund owned by the US-based Emerging Capital Partners. In June, the Competition Commission left the deal in a bit of a pickle after it prohibited the proposed takeover, objecting to the lack of historically disadvantaged people among the new owners. By August, however, the parties and the Commission had agreed to a revised set of conditions, pending approval by the Tribunal. And Grand Parade announced on Tuesday morning that the Tribunal had approved the deal. The conditions need to be met within 5 years and include the establishment of at least 60 new Burger King outlets in South Africa, bringing the total number of stores in the country to about 150. And aside from having to procure investment of no less than 500 million rand in capital expenditure, Burger King will have to increase the number of permanent employees by at least 1,250 historically disadvantaged people and increase the total value of all payroll and employee benefits in respect of those 1,250 employees by no less than 120 million rand. Analysts say these conditions might just be what the fast food chain needs to gain a foothold in the country, but at least for now, plans for a new and improved Burger King is on a roll. Moving on. On Tuesday, the National Energy Regulator of South Africa, NERSA, approved 3-generation licenses for floating powership provider Car Powership SA. The Green Connection, an environmental non-profit, says it may take legal action against the flawed decision. Car Powership produces power from gas-fired power stations and ships. In March, it was named a preferred bidder in a plan to fast-track about 2,000 megawatts of new electricity. However, Car Powership SA was refused environmental approval by the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and the Environment in June, a process that it's appealing. Aside from being probed by Parliament's Oversight Committee on Mineral Resources and Energy, Car Powership has also been the subject of a legal challenge from rival bidder DNG, which claims the tender process was marred by fraud. This has been denied by both Car Powership and Minister of Energy Gwede Mantashe. An early estimate prepared by the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research found that the powerships could cost SA as much as 218 billion rand over their 20-year lifespan. Lastly, our top story this week is about colonialism and discrimination. Or rather, at least that's what it's been described as by tourism and business bodies in South Africa. More specifically, this is in response to the UK's, frankly, baffling decision to keep SA on the so-called red list, which enforces stringent travel regulations. Helping us to make sense of this and its implications is Fin24 senior reporter and tourism and travel expert Karen Smith. Hi there, Karen. So for those who don't know, what is the UK red list? How does it work? And what is the impact of SA being on that list?
Hi, Amit. So yes, being on the red list means that people arriving in the UK from South Africa and also including UK residents, they have to go and quarantine for 10 days in a government designated hotel near the airport. Now, apparently, it's not like the most inviting type of hotels, and it will cost you more than £2,000, which is about 40,000 rand. And you have to go sit there. Apparently, it is very much like prison-like situation, people described it as. And that's why it's not very encouraging then for people to have to want to travel to South Africa, because they then would have to go and sit there for 10 days and cough up all this money.
Has the UK government provided reasons as to how they actually reached the decision to keep SA on the list?
Well, Ahmed, from what I understand, that is what is one of the main complaints about the local industry bodies who've since May been trying to convince the UK government to remove South Africa from this red list. They want to have more reasons. They want more transparency, they say. It seems that the UK government, they're mainly concerned with the beta variant. As you know, it was first identified in South Africa, but the world just splashed it around calling it the South African variant. And, you know, our local authorities were emphasizing all the time, it doesn't mean it's a South African variant. It was simply first identified here. And what our South African scientists are saying and trying to convince the UK government is that in South Africa at the moment, the Delta variant is mostly predominant, and that is, in any event, the most predominant variant in the UK. And that's how I understand it. They would like to, our local industry, tourism industry bodies who've been trying to get South Africa off the red list, that's sort of their argument that they're using, part of their argument, to address the so-called variant issue.
So the uproar in South Africa has been quite immense, especially from business and those in the tourism sectors, especially given that UK is South Africa's biggest tourism market. So some have gone as far as to say that this is discrimination or a form of colonialism. Why is that exactly?
Yes, I think it's because it seems that, and it's my understanding, that the UK, they sort of took countries that they are taking off the red list. It's more sort of, let's say, Western, Northern Hemisphere, first world type countries. And I think that's where the whole claim or allegation from, again, local tourism bodies trying to get South Africa off the red list. They say it's a type of colonialism, discrimination, and being unfair. At the same time, what is another aspect, of course, is that the UK, they don't recognize any vaccines done in South Africa. So that's an added, a bit of coal on the head. Yeah.
So turning our focus to the tourism sector for the moment, Karen, can you give us an overview of how important the sector is to the economy and how has COVID-19 impacted tourism?
It's a very important sector for our economy. For instance, before the pandemic, Stats SA even estimated that it provided about 4.5% of employment in South Africa. And as we know, employment is a very important aspect for South Africa, especially if we want to recover after the pandemic. Further figures from Statistics SA is that, for instance, in 2020, because of the pandemic, our tourism numbers in South Africa decreased by more than 70%. Apparently, in 2020, we had about 10.2 million visitors. In 2019. And that dropped to about 2.8 million in 2020. And so you can see in 2018, for instance, the latest data was that tourism contributed about 3% directly to South Africa's GDP, and inbound tourism contributed about 120 billion before the pandemic. So it is a very, very important industry for sure.
What does government, and more specifically Tourism Minister Lindi Wesisulu, say are plans to get this industry back on track?
Yes, obviously government, they are trying to do their part. I know that Minister Naledi Pandor has been talking to people in London. Tourism Minister Lindiwe Sisulu also said she also regards the fact of the so-called beta variant issue as being one of the reasons why the UK keep us on the red list. And she also says that is not scientifically merited. And there's a joint task team of scientists, apparently, who are going to now also try and address this with the UK government. I just have to add that there are parliamentarians in the UK who are sympathetic to South Africa, and They have had the ear of local industry bodies campaigning since May, and they will continue to try and help where they can, from what I understand.
Lastly, Karen, what's next for South Africa and for tourism? And when's the red list going to be reviewed again?
From what I understand, the red list is reviewed every 3 weeks. So it's very important for South Africa to put in all efforts that it can to see if South Africa can get off the red list with the next round. Because it's very important now, travellers are now making their decisions of which destination they will visit for the December holiday period. And as you know, that's normally our peak period. So it's going to be very crucial to see if South Africa can get off the red list of the UK in the next round, which will be in about 3 weeks.
Thank you for your time, Karen.
Thanks, Amit.
This brings our show to an end. The music in this episode is courtesy of Getty Images and Epidemic Sound. This week's installment was produced with the help of Kayleen Morgan. Thank you for listening.